Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians talk about their love for professional wrestling and what's going on in professional wrestling. This week, I have a really exciting guest, Jensen Karp.
Hello.
Hello. So, we don't know each other.
No.
But we've just met as I've entered your...
In my home.
Your beautiful home.
Thanks.
With awesome wrestling stuff.
That's the thing. I normally don't have just strangers come over to talk about wrestling.
Yeah,
this
is
not a common. This is not a common bond between me.
Well, you
and
don't
people.
Just have an open door policy.
All right, you caught me. All right, you're right.
I just came in here and I was like, yeah. Oh, look at this podcast equipment.
Well, you followed the wrestling sign I had outside.
Yeah.
Big WWE logo.
Yeah. It's a Pasta Mania sign. It's interesting. You run a show at UCB Theater, which I'm a performer.
Yes.
And I also have a professional wrestling show at UCB Theater.
Mine is moving.
To where?
It is only because it's like Highlander. There can only be one of us. No, yeah. I'm doing it at the improv.
Well, yeah. Truth is, I've muscled you up.
Yeah, thank
I'm going
you.
Into business for myself.
Yeah. And, you're the Vince McMahon of UCB.
I called Mike Still. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, he can't. Yeah. I pulled what I believe is that what Randy Orton did to Mr. Kennedy.
I thought Mr. Kennedy was his own issue.
Yeah, he was something. Randy.
He was so nice
know.
To me, by the way.
I saw him on an airplane recently.
He's so nice to me.
Yeah.
When I see these things about like him being like aggressive or also like even like drug stuff, I was like, really? It seems bonkers to me. He was such
drug stuff? I thought he got kicked out of WWE because like there's a video online, a YouTube video of him like giving a suplex to Randy Orton. And Randy Orton just flips out instantly.
Oh,
just
really?
Being mad at him.
Oh, I don't know.
Then he was like,
I was there.
This guy has to be fired. Were you there? So just to fill this in.
Okay.
Jensen was a writer for WWE.
I was, yeah. In
2005?
About 7 months.
Yeah. That sounds about how long.
Well, 3 months is the real, that's the real litmus. That's
right, like, so you did a double shift.
I did the double shift, yeah.
Yeah.
But after 3 months, because they hire you on this amazing like trial period where they pay for all your food.
Yeah.
The breakfast is $20. Lunch is $40, dinner is $60, and you could use it anywhere you want. They just give you food budget all day. That's all
wow.
I think. By the way, that's all I think about still, years later. But
I mean, free food is the greatest.
Oh my God, it was like defending your life. It was like the Albert Brooks movie. I used to go to a sushi restaurant for dinner. I surely gave myself mercury poisoning, but I would go into the sushi restaurant in Stamford, Connecticut, and after a while, they just go, $60 worth? I go, yes, sir. Just bring me the $60.
Because you're like, I got to spend the full
gotta
stipend.
Spend it. Yeah, well, Stephanie, the funny part about that is that Stephanie McMahon, who was my boss,
Yeah.
Used to call me.
Who?
Yeah. That's how I felt when I interviewed with her. I was like, this is so insane. She used to call me in the morning and she's like, can you bring pancakes and blah, blah, blah from the hotel? And it was like, she would just get breakfast for me because I'm not going to spend $20 at the Holiday Inn Express breakfast bar. No, like I could bring you things.
No, but you feel like, would you, if you had to buy your own food, you'd break even?
I barely even eat.
Yeah.
I don't even eat that much. It was just like knowing that there was over $100 worth of food that I could get was like, oh, I want everything. And they had us live. For the first 3 months, you live in a Holiday Inn Express in Stamford, Connecticut. So
you're not traveling?
Yeah, you do. At first, the first week I didn't. They were like, stay at home, just chill out for a second, because I think it was right after WrestleMania. And I started like right after WrestleMania.
Right.
So they were like, don't worry about the first week. You're going to be, you know, it's going to be too crazy. But then start the second week. And then I was traveling to 3 cities a week, basically. Because it was when we were running SmackDown, Raw, and ECW.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's insane.
Nuts.
ECW didn't film before SmackDown? So they did it
for
like
a while.
An hour before
for a while,
SmackDown?
Yeah. Well, that was my claim to fame with wrestling is that Paul Heyman and I got along very, very, very well. And like even to a point where like when I told him I was quitting, he was like, what if, and I know this is going to make you like jump out of your seat.
I think every conversation we've had before this started is me just like a little kid.
He was like, what if I relaunched it with you?
Oh, that's amazing.
And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, what if it's me and you? And the best part about that is that it sounds so amazing, but it didn't even work out that way. Like he didn't even, like they took it from him.
Yeah, they
like,
took it from him.
Yeah, it didn't even work when he did it.
He made it PG, and then they ruined it.
Yeah, so I would have been so mad had I actually stayed in the company, but I was like, dude, I'm so burnt out, I can't do this. And we've kept in touch by email and by him writing very nice things about me on Twitter. But he was great, but like it was just, it's so much work. It was just so, like, it's a circus, and the travel, I'm not made for traveling, and so it just wasn't a job for me. And I became addicted to Ambien, which I talk about a lot in my act and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, from it. Because you couldn't sleep. Yeah, so when you're on one Ambien, it doesn't work. And then you're on two Ambiens, and then you find yourself taking six or seven because that's the only way it's going to work. You're like, oh, I'm addicted. I'm sick. I have to go home. And
well, it's a notorious crazy business.
Yeah,
that it's leads to a ridiculous lifestyle. Yeah, it is a circus.
And I'm like almost straight edge. I smoke weed once a year probably, and then I drink maybe three times a year, and I was popping Ambiens, popping them like it was a normal lifestyle. And that was, I mean, that was purely because I couldn't sleep.
I don't know how anybody does it. I guess the way that they explain they do it is because they love it.
Yeah, and it's a fun experience. I mean, I was 25, 24 something. And I was like child. I had just come out of this other weird thing where I was rapping for a career, and I was and I knew when they saw my resume, like one of my things on my WWE resume was open for Snoop Dogg, and it was like they were clearly were gonna hire that guy. And I wrote two great writing samples, and then a week later I was in Stanford.
Well, it's awesome that you did it, because one of my best friends, he's a writer, and we love professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like our whole lives, we're going to Dallas next week.
Yeah, which so I will be there as well.
I will be there also. It's my bachelor party.
Oh, very fun. I only go because of my friends. My friends from high school, we all go together. It's sort of like a pilgrimage.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
What's it, me and my two closest friends, we go every, with our pact. We
this
go
is
every year.
Same as me. This is my friends from preschool.
Wow.
And then elementary school and our summer camps growing up, we all go together. And this year we're going to have fun because they bought tickets to all the indie stuff.
Yeah.
And so we're all going to go to those things, but I don't really care about WrestleMania. I like the spectacle of it, but I don't even give a shit what's happening.
What indie stuff? What are you going to?
We're going to Ring of Honor.
Right.
And then we're going to NXT.
Ring of Honor's on Friday night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the same time as NXT? No.
No. Different.
Oh, awesome.
Well, we have tickets to both. So, again, they're in charge of it, so I'm very excited that they're in my life.
I know.
But I knew they bought both of them because I was like, man, I want to see both of those.
I'll
like,
be at NXT also.
Great. I'm excited.
And that's small, so I'll probably see you there.
For sure. It'll be great.
Yeah. Cool. So, but I was saying, my friend, he didn't take the job. Because he was like,
he was offered,
you know, he got offered to be writing assistant, but he was 22 years old.
You move up,
you know, he was really young, right out of NYU, mm-hmm. and he didn't take. He's like, do I want to be on the road 6 days a week, and I want to be a television writer, and that doesn't lead to that. So, you know, like when you I'm interested as a because you write for television, and did writing, this is going to squash a question for us right away. Did writing for WWE help you as a to write for classic television?
Yes, because of what I'm writing. Because of what I'm writing. I also think it's changed in the past 10 years. There's been some people like Chris Roach and even, you know, like Alex Greenfield. There's been some people who've moved on to do other things.
Right.
Before that, it was kind of a death sentence because people stuck around in wrestling.
But would you
that's
say
kind
that
of a nightmare.
You saw that you saw it as an opportunity
not
to have
time.
A writing credit?
No, not at the time.
No, okay.
No, at the time, no.
I'm trying to jab the wound for
no, no. At the time, I definitely did not. But now it's funny because it's like part of your resume, and I have other things in my resume.
Right.
I also like, I was always, and Heyman and a bunch of people have talked about this since, is that I was always the UCB part of our writing staff. So, like, they gave me Goldust and Snitsky, or they gave me the Spirit Squad, or they gave me things that they knew I could put all comedy in. And so, WWE isn't high on all comedy. So like when they were pitching things that were from There's Something About Mary, which is not like hyperbole, like that they genuinely would say something like There's Something About Mary.
Right.
I was like, oh, I can't, that's not me, but I'll help you. Like I'll do this, but like I'm excited to do these very weird things. And so it
you're
just
like,
wasn't.
I don't want to put cum in my hair.
That came up a lot.
They love to just bite right off of pop culture.
Yeah, I'm not the only person to talk about that, but he brings up Something About Mary a lot back then, and then he also, which isn't a new movie even then, and he also brought up Blazing Saddles.
Vince?
Yeah.
I've heard that notoriously that he has a.
He's lowbrow.
He's lowbrow.
Very lowbrow.
He loves like a nice fart joke.
Yeah. Yeah, big time. He was very, by the way, I have nothing bad to say about Vince McMahon. He was a sweet man.
Me either. I mean, he was the greatest.
The greatest. He was.
I don't know him, but.
He yelled at me once. I did a really shitty pre-tape that didn't get to pre. Like, basically, you have to tape these segments that you see before the show, but you only have a couple hours to do it. Two problems with it. One is they're not easy to shoot. Because you're working in an active arena.
Right.
It's hard. You could try to close down stuff. It's not an easy bit. Still not easy, right?
So, most shows stay in the same place.
Yeah, or we can have a set.
Right.
Like, we have to use this arena in a normal way, and it's very uncomfortable.
Or they're an actual sports competition where you just play the game.
Yeah, it doesn't happen here. And so not only that, you then have to wait for Vince to approve it, which I doubt is the process now. I'm sure it's Stephanie now. But at the time, Stephanie wasn't allowed to just like approve a bit. So you're fighting against two clocks. Vince is not going to show up until literally the last minute, and then you don't have a bit when he says no.
Right.
So I'm taping this with Coachman and Viscera and Carlito and somebody else.
Yeah.
I forget why. Don't even know why they'd be in a hallway together. But I'm taping it, and they're all terrible. Everyone in the thing, no one's acting well. It looks like shit. It looks like the lighting's bad. Everything's bad. And I get through three of them, and I'm like, I can't hit this. This is terrible. And so Stephanie comes and looks at it and is like, I don't know, man. I guess we'll wait for Vince to come. Vince doesn't come. And Stephanie goes, well, it's bad anyway. And I was like, no, I know. It's very bad. And so she goes, well, let's just do it live. And I was like, oh, fuck. So they get the taping ready, and then they go live to my bit. It's garbage.
Yeah.
I'm trying to direct people behind them to walk around so it looks like something's happening. It looks like an insane asylum. Like, it's so...
It sounds like it's like Carlito, Viscera.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You got Carlito with his fro.
The hallway's lit bad. Everything's bad. And so I heard Vince get mad on a headphone from a nearby producer. That's how mad he was at this bit, and for good reason. So they go, he wants to see you.
Yeah.
So I walk over to Gorilla, and I sit down next to him, and he looks at me, and he goes, did you fucking do that? And I was like, yes. And he goes, oh, my God. I was like, no, I know. And I stopped him. I go, Vince, I know. It's very, very bad. And he was kind of taken back. And I think he's always been so respectful to me.
Yeah.
And I think because they told him I was a rapper, and he likes, like, little Hollywood-ish things. And so he... was like, well, he was taking it back.
He likes a gimmick.
Yeah. Well, also,
he's like, oh, this guy's a writer, but he's also a rapper.
And I bought nice suits, and I think he was like, he's got nice suits.
Yeah,
and so,
yeah.
And so he was just like, well, it was garbage, and it looked like shit. And I said, I know. I tried to get it before. I didn't hit the pre-tape because it looked terrible. And then we just went live, and he goes, well, then next time you come to me and you tell me that we're going to cut the bit. And I wanted to look at him, and I go, oh, I would never do that.
Like, yeah, how would you do that?
Why would I do that? Humanly.
And is he scary as a physical?
Physically.
Is he imposing?
Yeah, physically.
Right?
Yeah, he's huge.
He's a lot bigger than
you are. Bigger than everyone almost.
Yeah.
And most of the writers are all little Jewish kids. And so he was like, he just was like, then cut it. And I was like, okay. And I just walked away. And
How would you make the cut call?
It would never happen. I would go up to Stephanie and I would go, Stephanie, this is doing bad. She'd go, well, let me go look at it and try to help you. And we'd be in the same place.
You know, it comes down to the same thing that I hear. It's from, you know, reading and speaking to other people who've written there, is that they have a real broken system.
Well, I don't know what it's like now. From what I understand, it's a lot better because Stephanie and Stephanie did tell me before I left, she was like, one day we'll be getting stuff sent to us from L.A.
Because Vince is too hands-on.
I think it is,
at this point. And it's too much to manage. It's a billion-dollar company.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And he's literally trying to be the actor, the head writer.
And it's been successful. And you know, even when they say the ratings are low, they're pretty good for cable. You know, even when it's tanking, it's like, well,
yeah, but the way I always look at it is that punk quote where he was in the pipe bomb where he's like, you know, Vince is a millionaire who should be a billionaire
and
who makes money despite himself.
Yeah.
So even like, of course, wrestling's always like failing upwards.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that
it's good.
It doesn't mean it has potential to be good literally all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I was part of it.
Yeah, right.
It's like, because even like... even when you knew it was a bad bit, it's like, it's still going to go over. Like, nobody's really taking you to task at Entertainment Weekly the next day.
And that ties us in to now with wrestling, where it's really, I mean, we're a week out from WrestleMania, and it doesn't really feel like it.
Yeah, I just can't. Okay, so I don't watch much.
Right.
I
totally get it.
I pick about eight episodes a... let me fix my headphones. I pick about eight episodes a year to watch. I knew when Shane came back, because he's my absolute favorite. I knew I had to watch that one.
Great. So you were excited. Did you get to work with Shane at all?
You were
there like right when he was leaving?
No, I was there pretty good.
You were there. He was still there.
He would come in and hang out a lot.
Yeah.
He would come in and hang out in the writer's room a lot. I wouldn't say we necessarily were friends, but he was super fun to ask stories to, and he was like super into like talking about the old days, and that was fun. And also, he pitched all the time. He was like a consultant. Yeah. But he would sit in on meetings, writers' meetings all the time back then.
Yeah.
So fun.
Because the McMahons are so interesting.
Yeah, they were great.
They're such workhorses.
Oh my God. They're all when I left, I wrote him an email and I just wrote, hey Vince, I was like, I just want to thank you for the opportunity, and it wasn't for me, but what an amazing family you have and what an incredible work ethic and blah, blah, blah. And he wrote me back and he just wrote,
where are you going?
No, he wrote, thanks. He wrote, thanks so much. I can't imagine you not doing something incredible somewhere. And I was like, what?
That's
the
really
fuck?
Nice.
And if
that's
I had that email, I'd be. I don't.
You don't know what it's going to talk like in
oh,
the
on
WB.
Like AOL. Like, yeah, no, it's like on an AOL. AOL, I wouldn't even know where it is. But I wish I would have framed it.
They really are incredible. They are the reason for its success. And it's a weird. Also, wrestling is such a weird product. You forget that they like really put it on the map.
And he created it. He created what you know is wrestling.
Last night I was watching Raw. And then it I was watching on Hulu, and then it bleeds right into like the next program. Yeah. And what came on was Wrestling with Shadows randomly.
God. The Sean Doc, right?
The Brett Doc, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's the Sean Doc.
It's the screw job doc. Yeah, it's the Sean essentially. And you know
what you did, Hunter.
Yeah, she keeps yelling.
Hunter,
yeah.
you knew what you did.
Yeah, it's Bret Hart's ex, like so Canadian wife, and his son's in there. And he's like, what goes around comes around. Anyway, I ended up watching the whole thing. I've watched it like 40 times.
Yeah.
But you see like Vince make that decision, and you're like, that's why WWE's so successful. He's like, I got to do what I got to do to protect my company.
The one that I always go back to, and I brought it up this week, someone, I don't know why it came up. Oh, because I'm working on the MTV Awards with The Rock.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about this Beyond the Mat scene that I love so much.
Oh, I think it's
Bruce Pritchard, who I worked with, is walking with Rock down the hallway, and they're going over what he's going to say when he gets in the ring.
Yeah.
And just... because there's never been another Rock, and there never will be.
But The Rock is the greatest wrestler of all time.
So the way that they are talking to him about what he's going to say, it's so electric. It's like what wrestling is to us.
Yeah.
Not the bullshit that you see that comes on, but...
We're smarks.
Yeah, but even that, even not though.
No.
Even others.
Beyond that.
Exactly. Yeah. Not just how great we know it and whatever, even commercially. Just if I showed my mother this one scene of him walking down the hall, going through his lines, and then hitting the final line, you know, with The Rock is cooking, or you know, smell what The Rock is cooking, whatever. He does it all walking down the hall, and he does it under his breath almost. But there's so much fucking, like, it's so magnetic.
Yeah.
Like, and you see it all happen there. And that's the one that I always point to where I go, that's what they invented. They invented a man like The Rock to be able to do what he did and create pop culture the way he did. And it's not something that's going to happen a lot, but you know, it's beautiful when you watch it. And I was able to be there for a lot of it, so it was great.
Oh yeah, just to see him create that character. I mean, I feel sometimes I think back, it's kind of corny, but I feel like honored that I got to witness it, that I saw him as Rocky Maivia, as like this guy. I was like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
And he's wearing the tassels. Yeah. And then I remember him, he's in that cage match with Shamrock and Mick Foley.
Yeah.
And Mick Foley's climbing out of the cage, and you're like, all right, it's for IC belt.
Yeah.
And then he rolls onto Shamrock and wins the belt before Mick Foley could
so good.
Climb down. And I remember it. Oh, I was like, they're letting that guy win?
Yeah, and then there he went.
And then from there, it was like that was it. Yeah. He was off.
What a time, though, in wrestling where, like, and I this was not the case when I was there, but what a time in wrestling when you could just be like, hey, I'd rather be a little bit more like myself. And they're like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
That can't happen now, but it was so cool.
Well, now they say they're themselves. They'll use their real names, but then they're being like weird.
Yeah, I don't know. If that's themselves, they have weird personalities.
Definitely. I want to get to this before I forget. So you have a show. We're talking about the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
So this is how we came across each other, I came across you. I run a show at UCB, is a wrestling show where, you know, we just... It's like the most inside wrestling show. We do it at midnight, and we try to do it when wrestlers are in town and they come. Like Ziggler's came, Sandow was at the last one, and it's like for wrestling fans, like by wrestling fans. It's really fun. And then I saw on the schedule, like a bunch of the same guys who perform in my show. I was like, they're doing this other wrestling show. Actually, you know what happened? Hot Young Briley, you know, Ryan Nemeth, he sent me a link to your show.
Yeah.
It's called Attitude Error.
He's somebody's brother. He's
Dolph Ziggler's brother,
right.
He sent it to me. He was like, what the fuck?
That's funny.
Why is there another wrestling show? Like, not that I would care. Like, I don't think in terms of that.
Well, mine, if you don't know, the one I do is like the exact opposite. It is like for the least.
Yes.
You have to know nothing about wrestling.
Sounds way smarter.
We watch clips of one specific night in the 90s.
Yeah.
And we, in almost like Tosh, I hate comparing anything to Tosh, but in an almost Tosh way, we watch a clip and then we talk about what we just saw. But like little Esther was on the last show and she's literally never watched wrestling.
No.
So it's basically like how ridiculous, and you know, not knowing what happens in wrestling actually helps you because it's the first time you've seen Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Or it's like, oh my God, this exists.
Like, or you see like Goldust and the thong.
Yeah. And you're like, what? Knowing it is cool. Like, oh, I remember that. But it's like even cooler if you don't know.
Because you just comment on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do that at my show also. I'll have like a panel of I had Nicole Byer and Jamie Lee, my fiance, like on the show, and they don't watch wrestling. Actually,
no.
Jamie hates wrestling.
Well, she should,
and she hates that I watch wrestling.
Yeah,
and I took her. Ziggler gave me tickets to the Forum show, mm-hmm. And we went and we were watching. She never had a worse time at anything.
It's the worst.
She hates it. Yeah. And
But have you ever tried PWG for her?
No, I have not taken her PWG.
Because you know that's the way people like wrestling.
I know. That's like Sofia Vergara. It's so easy. And like Ronda Rousey's there.
Oh, because I can't even watch normal wrestling anymore. But I've been a PWG loyalist since you could walk up and buy tickets. Like,
I know. I haven't.
Those days are over. But it's the best. It makes me happy.
I had one time and then I couldn't go last minute, but I have to go. And they sell out so fast. That I get disheartened by it. But so the show, that's what you do in the show. So it's like a clip from the Attitude Era.
Yes, it has to be from the '90s. We did the first one was Halloween Havoc '95.
Yeah,
which is
that's
fucking
amazing.
Bonkers show.
Halloween Havoc '95.
It's the one where Big Show. It's brand new. The Giant is new, and he goes against Hogan in a monster truck, like a sumo wrestling monster truck match. It's so insane.
Didn't the Giant? Wasn't his first appearance? He won the belt from Hogan.
In
WCW.
Well, we thought that. See, that's funny. Justin Donaldson and I thought that, but the way that it happens on here is different. He was part of that, that evil monster thing.
Right.
And then we thought that too. But then when we watched it, we were like, oh, he came in a weird way. And then I guess they sort of retold history by having him come back.
Right,
into the
belt. Right. I guess that's how there's a lot of stuff like that in wrestling where the history is not actually true.
Well, this is like 3 months before they blew up the whole thing.
Yeah.
This is basically one of the last pay-per-views before they just went NWO. And like, whoa, we're fucking up. We have to start over. So like this was right at the end. And then the next one we did was the Raw, the test Stephanie wedding.
Oh my God!
Which is
straight up rape. Scene.
It's rape. Yeah, it ends with rape. Which
I watch
is bonkers.
That. I watch that like once a year.
Yeah,
because it's just
how many times did we consummate the marriage?
Oh my God!
And the whole arena erupts.
They go nuts.
Nuts. It's a different care. It's like a different culture. Like
it's a different time.
Different time. So you didn't even think that it's rape. But the end of the show is him bragging that he raped his daughter. And it's like, oh, like they're. And again, if you're not a wrestling fan, it's funnier because you're like, oh my God, this is what was happening.
It's crazy.
And the Godfather was in that show, and people were, you know, if you don't know the Godfather and you're watching it for the first time, you're like, I can't believe this was a kid show.
Oh my God, the Godfather.
And that's the goal of the show. It's for,
he just
for
got into the Hall of Fame.
I know. And they're not going to call him a pimp. I've heard the whole story. I've read it online.
But why wouldn't they just put Papa Shango in or like put one of his other characters
well,
in?
Well, can I tell you what I heard? I heard it's because he used to actually be a pimp.
I heard that as well.
That he actually was involved in the trade and would help wrestlers and stuff, and that this is sort of like a Hall of Fame for many reasons. Like he's being inducted for more than just wrestling.
Wow.
That's what I was told, but I don't know if that's true.
I assumed that it was like a diversity thing. Like they're like, oh, well, we have to.
Maybe.
Like some kind of backwards, weird.
Although I don't know if they'd ever do that. But I hope. It's a nice feeling to think they would, but who knows?
No, I don't think so.
When I worked there, you'd go to different cities. It's like 60% Mexican in the audience. And you're like, why do we not have more Latin wrestlers?
No, weird. I don't understand why Del Rio, they don't push him as the biggest star.
Yeah.
For you know, the Latino crowd, like just...
I write pro wrestling stuff a lot for Rolling Stone.
Yeah,
and it's weird because I don't have to like know anything about it. I'll just go to an event and they let me write whatever I see, which is so fun and so cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I did a Lucha Underground before. I'm the first fucking major press outlet to ever cover Lucha Underground.
Oh, wow.
I own that. I'll take that forever. They begged me to do it for Rolling Stone. I did it because Chris Roach and DeJosephs work there, and those are two guys that were WWE writers. And so I was really into it. I thought it was a cool idea. I liked that they're putting a lot of money into it. There was a lot of stuff that I liked to write the article. And when I wrote the article, I sat with Del Rio for an hour.
Right.
That was my big interview from it. Didn't even really use
apparently
much.
Apparently a great guy, right?
Great guy. Yeah. Didn't use, I mean, I supposedly not, but to me he's been great.
Oh, really? I hear only good things about
him. Didn't he like hit an internet guy?
He hit a guy who was being racist, right?
Oh, I don't know.
So, someone like said something like something racist against Mexicans and
he
punched
hit
him. And then Del Rio got fired.
Yeah, well, it's a common. So we're sitting there and for the hour, 40 minutes of it was him just talking about not liking the WWE. And then like 3 weeks later when he signed the WWE, I just... was like, well, I won't use that interview.
Yeah, well, what do you do? I mean, they dominate. They dominate.
Yeah. It was I mean, it was really fun. Lucha was awesome to write about, but I mean.
Well, that first season they had, I haven't watched this season at all.
I watched a little bit. It's fine. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. PWG is my favorite, man. I can't really.
No, I can't wait. I can't believe I haven't won. It's kind of
so
pathetic.
Good.
I want to get a little bit, just because we're at Mania season.
Yeah.
We are here. I know you're not watching regularly, but you definitely have opinions on these guys.
Yes.
You know. So let's talk about, because Shane's your guy. This Taker Shane match seems to be the marquee match of WrestleMania this year.
But what I've read online, and I don't know because I by reading the recaps, it sounds like they haven't given me a story to even care about.
They keep just shoehorning in like all these stipulations, right? So it started where Shane came out and was just like, "Hey," he said some weird thing about how, like, "Oh, I haven't been here, but I actually still am in charge, Stephanie." Like,
which
she doesn't
is stupid.
Know, which is stupid because it's like, what? She doesn't, you know, that doesn't make sense. That's really like,
well, couldn't he have said? Because I was watching, because I watched that episode because I love Shane so much.
Right?
Couldn't he have just said? Which he did a little bit, but he didn't focus on it, of being like, yo, the company's sort of going down the tank. There's never been a better time for me to step back in.
Yeah, that's all he needed to say. I said that in the last episode.
That's all he needed to say.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't need to be like, oh, I've still been working here. Like, that's
so
also
dumb.
Insulting to us.
Because that day, and then also they did a classic WWE move where they like give you a mystery and then they never pay it off. The mystery here was, you don't want people knowing what I know.
Yeah.
They're never going to pay that off.
No.
That'll never be paid off.
No, it was like, what do you know? And it was, and he also said to Stephanie, he's like, she doesn't know.
Classic WWE.
And Vince was like, but then Vince was like, oh, what do you want? Money? You want the checkbook? But he's like, still.
That won't pay off.
Doesn't make
sense.
If
it does, it'll shock
also,
me.
Also, what is the structure there that like, you put the stipulation there? Yeah. Like, all right, whatever. That doesn't make sense. So the next thing they added, it's like, okay, fine. Then you have to fight Undertaker. And if you do, you get in charge of...
Which is so dumb. But I did like the idea of just being like, well, then you get your match. It's Undertaker. Good. End. Walk him out. That's it.
Yeah, because it's like, you'll never win. So
yeah, it's perfect.
Like, fuck you.
Yeah. And
you
so now, now they've added
And also, there's that added element that like, I want you to get hurt.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, okay, you think you come in here and embarrass me on my show? Well, now you got to go against the Undertaker. Except for the problem is that the Undertaker is not viewed as a real threat anymore.
Right, right.
Like
he's 100 years old.
Exactly. He's 100 years old, and they're not acknowledging it, where they have this really cool creative space to be like, this is a broken down Dark Knight Rises Undertaker.
I was
going to
say, what if they did the Dark Knight Rises?
Exactly.
That would have been great.
I've been saying, I've been making that comparison
for like
6 months.
The Clint Eastwood Batman.
Yeah, make it like he thinks he's got one more match in the tank.
Yeah.
Instead, what they do is they have him burying Bray Wyatt in between losing to Brock Lesnar. And you're like, make him lose a lot. And then Mania, he's like, you know what? Mania, that's my place. That's where I get my strength.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on top at Mania. That's going to be my last match. But instead, now on Raw, Vince added this to, he came out by himself without Taker and Shane. We're like pretty close to Mania. They should both be there and punching each other.
Yeah. He's going to keep the physicality off TV.
What?
He's going to keep Shane and Undertaker's physicality off television.
Right.
Yeah.
They beat each other up like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but now we're too close.
Now we're too close. Yeah. Right. So So you know how this works.
Yeah. That's too close.
That's too close.
Well, I mean, in order to try to keep it special, if he doesn't care, you know, if he doesn't care about the physicality, then he'll use it. But I feel like he wants for the moves. Yeah.
Yeah. But he added this thing where it was like, if the Undertaker loses, it'll be his last match at WrestleMania. So. But if Undertaker loses, then Shane's in charge. So then if Shane's in charge, can he say that Undertaker wrestles at WrestleMania?
Yeah, it's a lot of hullabaloo. It's a lot of like, it's a lot of grandstand. I don't, it's a lot of stuff going on.
It's
too
like,
much.
It's too much going on, but also all they need to do is choose one aspect of this and explain it fully.
And then we even haven't talked about the idea that we don't know how The Rock is involved in this at all, right?
In Mania at all or this match?
No, at all.
Because I was like, oh, you have some inside info.
No, he's going to be there. We know that.
We know he's going to be there.
Right.
He'll probably just cut like a 30-minute promo with Ronda Rousey.
To be honest with you, though, they're giving him so much money. I know he can't do any physicality from what I've read.
No, he's filming three movies in a row this year.
So insane. Because I told you we've been working with him at the awards. And
yes, you've been working with The Rock.
Not him.
Which is like, I'm going to touch you. So it's like I touched The Rock.
Not him. I mean, he's so big. These guys, both
him. I won't touch you. Don't worry.
Thank you. Well, please still do. Him and Kevin Hart are so busy that it's almost like a joke.
But it's really funny because Kevin Hart and The Rock, I think of them, they're both like workhorses.
I think they have diseases.
They both are not interested.
No, I think they have disorders.
Yeah.
I think they have work disorders.
They don't know how
weird.
To operate in a non-work capacity.
And people make fun of me because I do a lot of stuff. I'm like, I think it's sickening.
Yeah.
I'm like, that looks terrible. He wakes up at like 5 a.m. to work out.
Yeah, 4:30, and then he'll post like
his Instagram is so depressing.
It says like tap to snooze.
So sad.
And he'll be like, oh, The Rock never taps.
So
and
sad. What is that? I know I'm a monster because I love running. I like to stay mentally healthy. I have to run almost every day.
No, I lift.
Or I'll kill myself. It's the worst. And so nowadays, the way my schedule is, I run at midnight. and I feel like a monster. When I'm doing
on the street?
It, yes. And I feel like I'm gonna. I feel like I'm stalking someone.
Oh my god!
I wear a hood because it's usually cold nowadays. And like halfway through, I go, I could murder someone. I'm the Zodiac killer. I feel terrible about myself. So I could understand how at 4:30 in the morning, if you're lifting alone in a gym, you got to be like, what am I doing with my life? Like, come on, get into a TV show.
Well, he's Instagramming.
I know. You're lazy.
Does he do his own Instagram?
I don't know.
If on top of that he's writing these paragraphs that seem genuine,
yeah, it's so crazy.
Like, how is he? Where
how
does
do you
get
time
to even sit?
I've thought about
it
a lot.
Really, he's filming three huge blockbusters
Baywatch
in a row for this whole year. He's going Baywatch into Fast and Furious, and then he's topping it off with Rampage, the movie we all need
about the arcade.
On top of that, he also has no artistic integrity with the movies he chooses.
Really, like, I think it's pretty good.
You think it
for The Rock? Okay, listen.
He could do better. I hold him to high standard. To me,
what do you think? You think
he's the he's the greatest talent walking this planet.
Right.
He is immortal.
But give me a decision that you think should be changed.
Baywatch. Well, I don't need to see a Baywatch movie.
But can I be the devil on your shoulder?
Yeah, I love it.
Here's devil's
advocate.
Devil's advocate.
Give you a stunner.
The Rock looks at 21 Jump Street and thinks it's phenomenal. Because it is. The 21 Jump Street movie is great.
Yeah, that's already a good argument.
Okay.
That is already a good argument.
So The Rock says, I know I'm funny.
Yeah.
I can't just keep punching fucking earthquakes. There's got to be something I want to do. And I think watching what happened with 21 Jump Street, I can be funny without a lot of heavy lifting in a Baywatch set with fucking Zac Efron, who's proven he's really good as this sort of like good-looking straight man in these movies, like The Neighbors or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he's never even done a movie that I want to watch. That guy,
Efron.
I haven't seen him.
Neighbors is good.
Neighbors I should have watched.
It's good.
That's the only one, but I haven't seen any other movies. He's literally zero.
You know what else he's kind of good in?
What?
The fucking Body Switch movie. I watched that. He's not a good movie, but he's good in it. It's him Tom Lennon's in it, but it's like him and I think one of the guys from Friends. Do a body switch.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it.
I mean, it's not good, but he's good. Anyway.
I'm sure he is good.
I'm being a douchebag agent about this.
No, I hate that I said The Rock had no artistic integrity. I got to edit that
edit
out.
That out.
I thought what I meant. I just meant I have higher standards for him. I want him to do...
If 17 doing, again is the name of the movie.
If he's doing three movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
It's not great.
I'll watch any Freaky Friday variant.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm saying that if he's doing three movies a year, one of them's Fast and the Furious, one of them's Baywatch, fine.
Yeah, okay.
Which I guess you're making a good point. It could end up being good.
Yeah, that's what I'm arguing. What's the other one?
He can't do one movie that's
Rampage. I don't know if Rampage
Why can't
good.
He chase the Oscar also? You know what I mean? Like, look, I'm not saying that he'll get it, but feels very on
have
game
you seen,
for
have,
The Rock.
Have you seen his only independent movie?
Yeah, Southland Tales. Of course,
no
I saw
good.
It was,
no good.
That movie was horrible.
Richard Kelly, not a good space.
Teen horniness is not a crime.
No, not I've a good movie. It. So maybe he thinks he's not there yet. Maybe he thinks he can get there.
That was the movie that I remember reading. Like The Rock's a boxer in it, and he's getting like acclaim. And I think he was also at a body size place where it was like, all right, if you want to go for this acting thing, really,
stay
you need to get
normal.
Smaller.
Be a normal human.
It's smaller.
He is nowhere near normalcy now.
Wait, so you've seen him in real life recently?
No.
Not yet.
Mm-mm.
All right, well, I'll have to give you a call later.
I will definitely, I have a bit. When do you put this up?
Within
the next week?
Off schedule, but yeah, I'll probably put it up Monday morning.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, then I can't tell you exactly, but I'm doing a musical bit for them. And it's right now it's in a great position.
MTV Movie Awards.
Correct. Right now it's in a great position for the show. The way award shows happen is like it can turn into nothing in 2 seconds. But right now it's on par to happen, and it looks fucking awesome. But if so, I think I would be pretty hands-on with The Rock because I would have to teach him some stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. But again, it can fall apart.
If you need an assistant, a free assistant.
Hey, man, I have this free assistant who just wants to hang around us and ask questions about why you wake up at 4:30. You cool with that?
Yeah,
All right.
I'm just going to be like, hey, do you need a spotter?
Yo, what time are you waking up tomorrow? I'll wake up with you. Like a real creep.
I try to think about what I would pay to work out with The Rock. I mean,
that sounds like a real charity auction, though.
Oh, my God. And he would push you really hard.
Oh,
man.
My God. What are you talking about? He would, like, shit on you. He'd make fun of your parents if you could lift. Yeah.
Oh, man.
He'd be like, your mother's gay. Ugh. Like, mean homophobic things while you're, like, fucking...
Gay.
Yeah, like, the weirdest homophobic insults and then lifting and being sad and crying next to him.
Yeah, boots to asses. Being always, like, innuendos about how my penis is small.
Everything's a catchphrase. compares you to cereal.
Oh, my God. Poontang pie.
Yeah, awful. It's awful. He's a terrible trainer.
Yeah, well, anyway, he's the best. I don't know who The Rock is allowed to derail this podcast always.
It's great.
But so, all right. So we're this Taker feud. So Taker Shane, I don't know. I don't know exactly what's going to happen in this match. I feel like the weird thing is that I thought this was going to be Taker's retirement match. And now they, and then I was like, oh, it's definitely not, because like he didn't get the Cena match. He's probably going to see if he can do it again next year to do the Cena match.
Yep. Or the Rock match.
Or the
which would be the real ending.
Taker Rock.
Yeah.
It's just he's in Texas. He is a Texan. He's literally falling apart.
Yeah.
But
wouldn't it be great to do that story you're saying where he loses this to Shane, somehow gets one last WrestleMania, and it's Rock, and loses that, and it's a hug in the middle of the ring between the two biggest icons of the sport, really?
Yeah, but that's...
And, you know, they...
I just don't think it'll happen, I love it.
How did they not offer Austin enough money to do this?
Yeah, I mean, he... You know, every year, every single... Literally every single year, somebody's like, Austin's wrestling this year.
But not this year more than any other
year. He's also in great shape.
It's in Texas. He's in good shape. They are out of stars. They're out of wrestlers.
Well, yeah.
They have nowhere to go.
Oh, that was the best thing Shane said in that one, that Raw you watched, is that he was like, all the wrestlers are hurt.
Injured, yeah. It's true.
That's awesome.
Everybody's injured. Why not just fucking put up the money? He'll take, you know, $6 million or something. He's not gonna say no.
No, I say this all the time. I'm just like, throw the money at these people. Throw them at, I say, you know, but there must be other barriers. Like, we must not really understand how hard it is to professional wrestler. Although I did wrestle for a little bit, so I know a little bit.
Well, that's enough to talk about for another few hours.
Well, I did a Funny or Die web series where I was training to at Santino Brothers.
Sure. Did you feel like you knew what you were doing?
No, I was horrible. I was like, thank God this didn't go further.
Right.
I was like getting hurt, and it was cool because I'd see like Brian Kendrick every day.
Yeah, he's great.
Like, yeah. But I was like, oh man, this hurt. It hurts so bad.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, and I'm not cut out to be a professional wrestler.
No.
But yeah. So yeah, I think you could throw any amount of money at these people, but it's clearly not true.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't know that like backstage, they usually put old wrestlers as writers as well. And then also all the physicality is written by agents, which is a dumb name they've given basically choreographers. So like anything that the wrestlers say from their mouths or from this group of writers, anything the wrestlers do physically are written by the wrestlers and their agents. So like on our writing staff, we had Michael Hayes, Ted DiBiase, and the greatest, Dusty Rhodes was on our writing staff. So like that was who I wrote with every single day.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Crazy.
How was Michael Hayes? I mean, Dusty, it's crazy. I went right.
He's very nice to me. He's very nice to me.
He's about to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I know. He's a monster.
As a free bird.
He's a monster. He's going to sing.
New Day is inducting them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Which I think is amazing.
He's definitely going to sing. He's fine. He was very nice to me. He liked that I was musical. He loved talking music. But yes, he's a monster.
No racism?
No, I never did. He liked rap to me. He talked about rap.
Right.
He was like, he talked about, you know, he knew like a little bit about rap.
That's all I've heard about him. It's like only bad stuff about him.
He's fine with me. I mean, he's a mess, but you know,
yeah.
He's fine. And so then physically it's written by like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Malenko, Arn Anderson. These are people when I was there. I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
IRS. Those are the guys. There's a couple more, but I can't remember them all. But if you needed someone to come out, you just walked around the thing and been like, can Steamboat come out? They say yes every time. They get a better, you know, they get money. They don't just, you know, they get an appearance fee. But I was always weirded out because like if we were in Oregon, it was easy to get Piper. Or if we were in certain cities, we get a list of wrestlers we can use. And it's like, oh, we'd love to use Billy Graham.
Yeah.
If we were in his hometown, I think it's Florida. No, Arizona. He's in Arizona now. And so if we were in Arizona, Billy Graham's name would be on. I'd be like, let's bring him in or whatever. But then there are certain people that I don't understand why you won't pay the money to get him at WrestleMania. So it must be, like you said, it must be a little bigger. It must be that.
You know, Stone Cold might just be like, it's not worth it to my
neck. I don't think he'd do
that. He's like, it's not worth it. And also,
no, I'm talking about money you can't say that to.
Okay, but can I say this?
Yeah.
These guys also, like a guy like Austin, right?
Yeah.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Take their wrestling. He takes himself really seriously on his podcast.
Yeah, well,
he's got
best part of him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a sense of humor, but when he talks about wrestling.
Yeah, well, he still watches. That's the joke of the podcast.
He's still watching.
I know.
Yeah,
so funny. He watches more than anyone else.
He's watching. He also has like some of the worst pieces of advice for wrestling, I think, like for current. It's like such old school.
Yeah, do you
advice.
Know Mike Carlson?
Of course, yeah.
The best.
Yeah,
Mike
yeah.
Carlson keeps me up to date on
same,
all.
We know all the same people.
he keeps me up to date on all the wrestling podcasts. So
yeah.
He tells me all the live reads that JR does of advertisements.
Yeah.
He tells me the impressions that JR does. He keeps me in the loop on like what I should know about in the podcast.
Oh my God. You know Dan Van Kirk?
Yes, yes, yes. So he's on the show. He's on my podcast.
Yeah, yeah. He comes on our live show as Stone Cold.
Yeah.
And he does the best. It's the best bit. Actually, one of my episodes of the podcast, he does it where he's just going to say if he's going to wrestle at WrestleMania. Yeah, yeah. Like, he's like, he's here to announce that.
Right.
But he never gets to it because he keeps plugging Sherry's Berries. He keeps plugging all these weird sponsors.
That's such a funny podcast bit.
Yeah. Because, like, on Stone Cold's
so
podcast,
specific.
He'll just be like,
he just does it over and over.
Yeah. He'll just be like, you guys want to get Sherry's Berries? put in the discount code Unleashed.
Carlson has gotten me into the JR live reads, and I love them so much.
That's amazing. Yeah. I sat next to him last year at NXT at JR, and he was pretty nice.
He's great. I just did something with him that I not because it's like a secret, but because I can't wait for people to see it. It's soon.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So back to Mania.
Yeah.
Let's try to get all these matches. Talk about these matches. Yeah, the Shane Taker thing. I don't know. I'm not sure what will happen. It feels like my guess is that. I think Taker will win, and I think the Shane thing's not real because, like, it's just like they're making me buy that he's coming back, but he's not. He doesn't want to come back.
No, he's a millionaire for something else.
Yeah, he's doing other stuff. He doesn't want to come back, and they're selling this angle. And Taker's not going to lose to Shane.
This was a one-time thing for his kids. Because his kids are old enough to see it.
And everyone's hurt. They needed a Hail Mary,
and they got one.
Yeah. So cool. So I think that's what's going to happen. But it's also just really not working. It's feeling very.
That's
like,
so crazy, man. Because I haven't watched it, but man, did you? I could not imagine that they ruined that. That's so hard to imagine.
Yeah, I mean. Shane's also been pretty mediocre on the mic.
That is such a sad thing to hear.
Yeah. But I don't blame him. He's out of the mix. It's tough.
Yeah.
Main event, Roman Reigns, Triple H. How you feeling about Roman Reigns?
I don't know a lot. I purposely didn't
speak about Roman Reigns till this late in the podcast because he just dominates.
I don't know a lot.
I'm glad to hear it.
I'm always just like, oh, he doesn't seem like a headliner. So I'm always like, you're a very good B-level.
Yeah.
But they use him as like a main guy. But I see when I went to last year's WrestleMania, I liked the electricity about him. It wasn't the right heat or whatever, but I did enjoy it.
He did a great job at last WrestleMania. Like, people forget.
He did great.
He that match, and they played that match the best way they could, which was like squash, basically,
awesome.
That he came back from.
It was cool.
But this year is tough because he's not wrestling Brock Lesnar. He's wrestling Triple H, who you have to at least see them as equals ability-wise.
Yeah, and he can't.
You know, because like, one's like a younger guy, one's like a veteran, so they have their, you know. It's not like, oh,
but
you're going up against the beast.
Yeah, this is a match that Triple H thinks is very important. You can tell that.
Look, I'm glad it's happening because let's just get it out of the way.
Yeah.
They want Roman Reigns to go over big at WrestleMania. They wouldn't let us have it last year.
Yeah.
We wouldn't let them have it last year. This year.
You think he goes over Triple H?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Good for Triple H.
He has no.
This is the one kid he would have done it for. So he's doing it. Yeah.
He's doing it. They're going to. Yeah. They have no choice.
Yeah.
They'll bury Roman Reigns if he loses. He's already going to get booed. You'll see. Next, me and you are going to be sitting there.
Yeah.
We talked about it last time, like what the response is going to get. Because it's weird when you open it up to WrestleMania, which becomes less marquee and it becomes it's for the casual
mainstream,
fan, right?
Yeah.
It's the mainstream. Like, people want to hear Triple H is on it. So they'd go. I don't know if he'll get booed or people, you know, I think it's going to be like middling. They're not going to know what to do for him.
I don't know a lot about him, but he got me as a fan last year. I thought he was great at WrestleMania.
But he's getting consistently booed.
But isn't that part of it, man? Aren't we going to boo someone isn't the bad heat going to happen for everyone?
I know, but he's supposed to be their biggest face and he's not even close.
Right.
Triple H is getting cheered.
Applause. But that's like bad guy applause. But they love that. But would you think that Reigns?
I think it's despite Reign.
But do you think that they? Do you think that he should be a heel?
Roman Reigns.
Yeah,
I do. I do, but I know why they're still burned from turning Stone Cold heel,
right?
And they know like John Cena. They've been really smart about keeping him heel.
In 2005, when I went to meet with Stephanie, asked. She was like. What would you do? And I was like, I'd like to turn Cena heel. And she was like, never happening.
No, it'll never happen.
No. I think it will at the way end, but we're a while out.
It's smart. At this point, it shouldn't happen. Yeah,
I love heel Cena though, man. I couldn't wait. Watching him on that Divas show, which I've watched a couple times.
Oh, Total Divas.
With his weird OCD vibes and stuff. I was like, man, that feels fucking really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, he should be that guy.
Did you overlap with Daniel Bryan at all? I know this is a lateral step.
No, not at all.
Oh, yeah.
I love him, but no, not at all.
Oh, okay. Uh-uh. Yeah, he probably would have been just coming up.
Yeah, I don't even think I never saw tape of him or anything.
No, nothing.
I saw like I recently, Justin Donaldson, who produces my wrestling show, yeah. I gave him some of my OVW tapes, and he found a Santino Morello match when he was that Russian destroyer.
Yeah, yeah.
They're a totally different character. And so, like,
not the guy who won the IC belt from the crowd.
Yeah, yeah. This was an actual. This was purely a killer. He was a monster. And like, those are the things I remember: Shad Gaspard and things that I was, people who I was helping come up. And that's what I wish I don't know. Maybe I could have stuck around for that, but
yeah,
that's it.
Well, Kevin Owens. How about Kevin Owens?
I knew him from PWG.
That's
really
what
well.
I imagine.
Yeah,
right?
Kevin Steen.
When he was Steen, right?
I saw him a lot, but not when I was in wrestling. Now he was like 15, I think. 2005.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I watched him and Generico. Those were like my two guys.
Yeah. So him and Zayn are.
They're fighting each other. Wrestling.
Well, that's what I was hoping.
Oh.
I was hoping they were setting up for the Kevin Owens Steen.
Generico.
Kevin Owens.
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn. Yeah. If you switch between their names, I'll go in a stroke loop. but now it looks like they're going to. What they did was a weird thing on Raw. They had Kevin Owens being like, "Hey, everyone wants to know who's going to fight me for my IC title because he's the IC champ."
Yeah.
And then Ziggler came out to be like, "I should fight for it." And then Miz came out being like, "I should fight for it." And then Sami Zayn came out being like, "I should fight for it." And then Kevin Owens went. Was like, I'll decide. You know, you guys want a match? You could have a triple threat. And then he went to backstage segment with Stephanie.
Okay.
And then in this backstage segment, he was like, he was like really respectfully asking to set up that triple threat match for his belt.
Right.
And then she's like, all right, fine. You ask him what you. She's like, it's pretty ballsy of you to like be like asking me for stuff. Then he came out again. And then he announces the triple threat, and it's different opponents. It's like Sin Cara, Stardust, and he's like, because he's like trying to avoid fighting the other guys.
Heat, yeah.
Yeah. But it's also.
It's bad heat because
it's insulting
the
other
match
guys.
You want.
Yeah, it doesn't give the match you want. No, it's also like those other
but
guys.
But insulting the bad guys, insulting the guys you wanted,
yeah.
That's heat because it's like, for example, like say that we had a wrestler come out and stop a woman from taking off her top,
yeah.
Which we would have done. That's heat or whatever. It's like anger. So, like, picking the wrong opponents.
Yeah.
It's good, but
no, it's good. Bad
you're still
going
to do it.
It's good heel stuff. But, no, they're not doing it.
Okay,
they're
good.
Not doing it.
Well, then but, I nailed it. I said,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. So then, but I did feel a little bit like, oh, he was choosing these as the weaker opponents, and one of them was like Stardust, which is like
well,
Cody,
him,
which I thought was like whatever.
Yeah,
that's okay.
So who is he fighting?
So then that match happened, and then like the other guys came out and became a schmoz or whatever. He came out, and then Stephanie got like mad at Kevin Owens for like overstepping his bounds, and was like, "You know what? You're gonna have to fight all six of them."
Six of them.
So there's seven.
Miz. It's all those people.
Yeah, it's like that whole you
so
know
that's
that,
a match?
The whole mid card. It's basically the whole mid card on a ladder match for the IC belt.
Wait, and you don't like that?
Well,
you would have rather seen Sammy and
I don't know why I told you the whole story of how it unfolded, but
you did it well. Now I like
it. The only reason I did is because at the beginning of the night, I was thinking we're seeing Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens at WrestleMania, which I think would be an awesome match.
It'd be great.
I mean,
I've seen it many times.
You've seen it. That's what I'm saying.
They're incredible.
Yeah. Which I'm saying, it's like cool that it's like from the indie scene right to WrestleMania.
Yeah,
like,
I'm friends with Excalibur. I'm very close with Excalibur and Chris Hero.
Right.
And both of them, when they ended up fighting each other recently, I didn't watch it, but I guess they ended up for the first time really having like a punch out.
Right.
Both of them texted me and were like, man, this is the greatest. Like they both thought
that's
it was the greatest
moment. That's what I'm saying.
Moment.
It's like it's such a nod to like if you're going to have this like, you're going to have this like Triple H, Roman Reigns,
mainstream
fest, right? Then have like this indie, like have a smarky match in there.
Well, especially these things that Justin's telling me about what Triple H is doing, going federation to federation and taking middleweights.
Yeah, that's what I
it's unbelievable. Yeah, and he's not even signing him; he's just picking him up for a one event.
Yeah,
what the fuck is he doing?
I don't know. They do weird stuff.
But you're gonna see guys like Zack Sabre, and you're gonna end up seeing guys that I've been watching at PWG for a while that are incredible.
Yeah, I mean that's I was talking to someone recently about like the what is this escaping me? Who's the tag team? The really hot tag team in the Indies?
Oh, the Young Bucks.
Young Bucks.
I'm friends with two. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, great. Yeah. I've heard that they. All right, so maybe I've heard they've been offered to go to WWE a bunch of times.
Oh, I'm sure.
And they say no.
Yeah.
Because they're like,
well,
they like
get a
what
good
we're doing,
but also they'll get a good opportunity eventually.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know if the opportunity they want is exactly...
Because the WWE opportunity, you get a pay cut. To go to NXT, you get a pay cut.
Yeah,
and
but
also
like,
sometimes they'll bring you
but
in
there
for...
will be a time in a year where the Bucks don't have to go to NXT.
Right.
So that's what I think. That's what I think that, like AJ did. I think
I heard Finn's the only guy who got more money to go to NXT.
Well, just, dude, the Bucks are the greatest.
Yeah, they're awesome. I keep hoping they'll come over so I can actually watch them because I
got to go to the PWG, man. They're there every month.
I know.
They're the greatest.
Those guys, legit my fault.
Legit the best. The best wrestlers in the world. So right now, to me, the best wrestlers in the world are the Young Bucks.
That's bold.
Hands down.
But I feel like a lot of people feel that way.
They should. They're fucking, they're money. They're unbelievable.
But someone as knowledgeable as you is going to, you know.
Dude, they're easy. You don't even
you're not going to say Roman Reigns.
You don't even have to write them.
Yeah.
They just do their own thing. Let them go out there and be insane. And I've watched them grow up in the past 8 years. It's been incredible.
Yeah, how old are they now? They're young.
They're young guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've been watching them at PWG from basically the beginning of their reign, like there, and like watching them go from where they've been to where they are now, it's like they've mastered their craft.
Yeah.
So, like Callahan, there were guys that came from PWG that I was like, man, I'm really excited to see them do this. Obviously Steen, obviously Generico.
Yeah.
Now there's a couple other guys too, like Swan, Rich Swan.
Right.
A couple guys that are there now, but the Young Bucks are the holy shit. Even beyond Steen and Generico, the holy shit is when the Bucks show up because they're so good.
It'll be exciting to see them,
and they will be there eventually.
Because I even felt that I'm getting more into indie wrestling now, just because since I've moved to LA, I've only been here 2 years.
Yeah.
The amount of people that I've came in contact with,
best.
And the LA indie wrestling scene with PWG out here, there's more. There's just
you go
more.
There and it's like me and Funchess and fucking so many people.
That's what I'm saying. I got to talk to Ron too.
Yeah.
Man, there's so many. That's why I started this podcast.
Yeah,
like all these comedians watch wrestling.
Fowler. Yeah, Jermaine.
Jermaine, me and Jermaine and Saint Germain. And the Lucas Brothers. We were watching a pay per view together recently. Mm. Oh, actually, when was that? Night of Champions when Sting got retired for
I
good.
Read that too. Yeah,
yeah. So I got to get all those guys on. There's too much to do.
Too many.
Well, in my new home, I'm gonna have multiple microphones.
Good.
Get to that. I'm gonna announce that next week. But yeah, so what was I saying? Yeah, so I just thought that would be. I didn't like that. I hate when they. I look. That's gonna be a cool ladder match. It's gonna be like it's gonna be like a Money in the Bank kind of a match.
Yeah,
but I do feel like it just I don't know.
How about this?
I love Kevin Owens.
You sold me on the match.
I did.
I swear to God. Now
the writing.
No, from what you just told me.
Yeah,
I didn't. Honestly, I was like, I don't know a lot what's going on in WrestleMania. I really
that'll
don't.
Probably open Mania.
But I like going to Mania without knowing a lot. So there's like a weird part of me
so
that
I'm
goes.
Messing this up
No. What you told me is exactly
Sorry,
what. I... No. It's perfect. What you did is perfect. I'll get those lowdowns from people. Like that weekend, like all my friends will tell me. Now I am very excited for that match. But I didn't even, like, if you would have told me Steen isn't fighting Generico, it's something else, I'd have been like, oh, fuck, I would have rather seen him with Sane.
Well, I was worried for a second there, based on story, that it was going to be a triple threat with The Miz. Those two and The Miz.
Well, Miz is my, I got to be honest.
Is he your boy?
No, not at all. I worked with Miz his first day on SmackDown. He was a party host was his name or something.
Yeah,
he wasn't even a wrestler yet.
Right out of the real world.
Yeah, we had him like SmackDown was going to be a party for the summer, which was going to turn into the Divas competition, and he would just like show up at different parts of the arena and be like, "What's up?" You know, doing his real world shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh my god, everyone's going to hate him. This is so crazy."
Yeah.
And so I would work with him on that, and then he kind of went off on his own. And then the stories which you've heard about him like not being able to change in the locker room and all those things you've heard that are real. His WrestleMania moment, and I'm going to be dead real with you.
Is 27
where he main events?
Yeah,
top five moment for me in wrestling.
Whoa, why?
Because that's never happened. Never happened.
You know
someone has never went from locker room joke to main event and done so well with it ever. It's never happened.
And
it's beautiful.
And you also
and I was there
personally attached to it.
But everyone should.
You were there, right?
His speech, yes. His not at the WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think it's WrestleMania 27.
I was there, yes.
I'm working.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was not. No. I was way gone. But what I'm saying is...
Oh, yeah, you were way gone. Yeah,
way gone. What I'm saying is, do you remember the speech he gave while walking down the hall where he was like, and I, because I dropped a burrito in your bag, Bradshaw, I had to change... Do you remember this? You could find it online.
I want to see that. I know all about what you're...
He dropped a piece of food in Bradshaw's bag, and Bradshaw's a bully. And Bradshaw made him change in another room for like a year.
Yeah, that right.
And they treated him like shit.
I knew he was a notoriously bullied.
Yeah, and they made fun of him, and they did all these things to him, and there he was, the real world cast member, with a main event of wrestling.
He won.
And how?
Well,
can you not? How could that Jensen, not make you happy?
I agree.
It's beautiful.
I 100% agree.
Beautiful.
I would rather see. I'd rather see take a chance, have it go. Have the main event at WrestleMania be Triple H versus Kevin Owens.
Like, yeah.
Have, like, especially this was, you know.
But did you watch that Miz match and think he didn't? You didn't think, like, my God, The Miz just stepped up. Like, you didn't think of that?
You know what? The Miz is tough for me.
But then, not now. Miz is tough now.
Yeah.
But then, do you remember being like, oh, I remember that package that Kevin Dunn made, who I don't love.
The Anonymous Raw General.
No. Is that what they say?
No. That was during that time, they had The Rock there because they didn't fully. They're like, we're going to have Miz main event. Yeah. We're also going to have The Rock dip in.
That's right.
And like, he made the match keep going?
Yeah. But Kevin Dunn is this producer who works at WWE for 35 years or something. And
no, I know who he is. Yeah. Victorious.
He makes these incredible packets. Like, yeah. I'm not a fan of his, but what these packages he makes,
part of wrestling are the packages.
He does a great job.
Kevin Dunn is the package guy.
Yes.
Kevin Dunn, you've done amazing work.
He's done incredible things.
He's actually might be the mastermind behind wrestling.
He's very good.
The package. Because this Shane.
He has a team, don't get me wrong, but he's the Don. He's the Don.
Because the Shane Undertaker match, none of this is working now. The package when I'm at Mania is going to get me emotional.
You're talking about a man who does 35 years of it.
Yeah.
He does 10 a week or something.
Yeah.
So, like, the one he did for Miz, I remember being like, I remember saying to myself, like, oh, this is the best. This is the best thing I've ever seen.
I'm going to go watch it.
They're all, and he does this speech. You got to watch the whole thing. It's so good. And I know that it's weird to go on like a pro wrestling podcast and talk about how great The Miz is. But he had a moment, and it's not there anymore. But this one moment of his career.
You now became a heel.
I know.
On my podcast.
This one moment in his career is so beautiful. And so, it also, I was bullied a little there.
What's the difference between that and when I was talking about The Rock rolling on Shamrock? Like, just because it's The Miz, who's someone that is, you know.
Well, people want to not give him his moment.
Is someone who we don't like. For me, I just like, I just. I'm not a Miz guy. That's
right.
All.
You shouldn't be. No
I'm
one
not
is.
A Miz guy.
Yeah, no one is.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely not a Miz guy. But I appreciate that. Like, I don't
I'm
need
not a
to
Miz
always
guy.
Get to it. The thing is that Roman Reigns, people aren't connecting to
no,
it.
Different.
It's because he hasn't earned it. Like,
yeah. You know who bothers me now?
He has no good. He has, doesn't have a good story.
You know who bothers me? Someone who I loved more than anything.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
And he's an active wrestler.
And everyone loves him. And I can't do it.
And everybody loves him, and you can't.
He was
do
a
it.
Get up on. I have a show called Get Up On This, where I get you up on things before they happen.
Yeah.
I got you up on him. I was like, "There's this guy in the lower minor leagues. He's so good." Blah blah blah. And now I can't listen. I can't look at him.
Oh my God!
And he's like a huge deal.
Okay, hold on. Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, I can't do it. It's too hard for me, man. I don't know.
Wait, so why?
It's not cool.
That's great because we haven't talked about the Ambrose-Lesnar match.
It feels not cool.
So you know Dean Ambrose?
No, not at all.
Okay,
no.
Even though you've explained your timeline of when you've worked
my
there
timeline
to me like 40 times,
my timeline,
and I just keep thinking,
I can help
I keep
you here.
Hoping that you know no, these people.
I, will,
like,
I, will
no,
help
I
you
know
here.
That you know way.
The easiest way to know my timeline, God versus Shawn Michaels.
Oh, okay.
So Vince McMahon, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the longest storyline that happened while I was there, and
okay.
I worked a lot on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Spirit Squad.
Ooh, Shawn Michaels. Spirit Squad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's when I was dipping back in.
Yeah,
I was out for a little bit in Spirit Squad.
Tough times.
It was because I just got DVR.
Yeah,
and the first thing
it
was
about
like,
the same time.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I was like, I got a DVR Raw.
Yeah,
because like Raw is
if you could fast forward.
I was like,
great.
I can fast forward Raw.
Yeah,
it was like one of the greatest.
Still 3 hours.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, brutal. Sir. It is 3 hours
brutal.
Long. It is three. That's why I would do the Hulu dip a lot
I
of
know.
Times.
Ugh.
But then I miss things I want to see.
Right.
There's a whole like Ryback.
Oh God, please.
Not that I like Ryback. You did not interact with Ryback.
No.
You
know? Way
but,
later.
All right. Wait. Let's get to Ambrose.
Okay.
I'm just saying. There's a Ryback, Kalisto thing happening that I'm that match is happening at Mania that I haven't. Yeah. I
wait. So Ambrose is fighting.
Brock
right.
Lesnar.
Okay.
And actually, it's a pretty good.
Yeah, it seems good.
It's
I just,
good.
I just don't like.
He's the biggest face in wrestling.
But what is Ambrose doing?
I have no idea.
Do the same thing you did about the other thing. Like,
it's
where
what
you
he's
just,
doing
you
is
break
that he's
it down?
Not Roman Reigns. He is, right now, he is their best option who's not Roman Reigns. So people are like, let's get behind this guy just to show the company that, like.
But what is he doing? Is he doing Pillman?
It's a combo. He's doing full Attitude Era. That's like his whole thing.
Give me an example.
Well, okay. Well, right now, what is he doing specifically?
Just tell me.
Because right now in the story, what is he doing?
He's
every single. So he has a street match against Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
A street fight.
Which will be great.
Which will be cool.
Yeah.
And he did this. He had a really cool gimmick going where he.
I can't wait for this story. What is it?
I don't think it's a gimmick, but maybe it counts as a gimmick. You tell me.
Yeah.
Where he was like just asking for punishment. He's just being like, Brock Lesnar, you can't break me. So he would be like, get an F5. And then be like on the mat, all hurt. Grab the mic and just be like,
do it again.
That's all you got. And right. He would do it like a lot of times.
But okay. But didn't you like Dean Ambrose originally because he was good on the mic?
That is 100%.
What happened?
He also was a lot bigger.
What happened?
He also like slimmed down. He was so weird. He's just
he was sick.
The head of the Shield. I was like, this guy's amazing.
Anytime he grabbed the mic, it felt like the entire arena was watching him. He captivated everything. He's now he's talking out of the side of his mouth.
Yeah.
Do you notice this? He's sort of like it's like
he's doing a greaser.
Yes. What is he doing?
I don't know.
Because he was so talented and now he's mumbling. On purpose. He's mumbling on purpose.
He's always been a guy with weird timing. Like his wording is timed weird. Like his comedic timing or wrestling timing was really interesting. But now it's become too cartoonish.
I don't get it.
So it's he's doing that. And then now I think his gimmick's been a little all over the place. He's been the one who's got hurt.
You're in an hour.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to ask you.
I'm just letting you know.
I don't have the timer. Like, normally,
I have the timer in front of me.
You have it.
Sorry.
Yeah. No. It's good to know. But so he's been like, since the Shield fallout, he's definitely been the one who's in the worst spot.
Which is such a bummer because he should have been in the best spot.
But also, they felt this need to, what they did was they let Roman Reigns keep being the Shield, right? So he's got the Shield music. Essentially,
okay.
He has the Shield music. He's dressed still in the bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
He comes from the crowd. He got to keep that. And then Rollins just was like, went back to what he did awesome in the indies or whatever. You know? He became for whatever reason, Rollins adapted quick.
Yeah.
He just got a costume that worked or a right away. And then Ambrose, he was like, maybe in his own mind, was put out in this place where like, I need to reinvent myself. But what he was doing was working.
It's the worst. The worst invention.
Yeah.
Be yourself, man. Everybody, I loved when that old Mick Foley thing, which ended up being fake, but when he like went at Mick Foley during WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
And he was like, you're the reason my friends are, you know, like all that shit. He's so good.
That's you saying Mick Foley. So that's what happened recently is that, so now he has this street fight coming up. Every hardcore person is coming up to him and giving him a weapon. So like Terry Funk gave him a chainsaw last week. Yeah. Terry Funk gave him a chainsaw. Mick Foley came and gave him the barbed wire bat.
Right.
And somebody else gave him something. I don't know. And
Hardcore Holly?
No, it wasn't Hardcore Holly. No. He gave an Alabama slam.
The guy from the Mean Street Posse?
Yeah, Pete Gass
came out.
Showed up.
He's like, here's blood.
Yeah, here's the Argyle sweater and some blood.
Here's some blood.
Yeah.
Use this.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Dean Ambrose feels really lost, but he's like, to me, every single person I have in the podcast is like saying Dean Ambrose isn't doing it for them. Like, it's not working, but he's also failing upwards big time. Like he's very successful.
He is,
but they're feeling it because they're not giving him the belt.
But he should have toys, and he should be like a main guy, man. He's still it's just not working.
What would you do to fix him if you were in there creatively?
I go back in there and I'd be like, listen, what are you trying to do with your talk? Like, what are you doing? And then I think he would go, well, I have this thing. I feel like it's a greaser. I think you were right about that.
Right.
I think he would have some sort of explanation as to what he's doing. I go, don't do that. Don't do that. Stop doing that. Just be yourself. Go out there and be yourself. That's what made you so special as a wrestler, is that you looked different than everyone. You were kind of off the handle, and it was cool. But now you're trying to fit into a peg.
Well, they told him, they were like, all right, you're the lunatic fringe. So now he's like, I got to be like this hyperbole of
that. It doesn't work. Be a subtle version of that.
Yeah.
Just be that. Be a movie version of that.
Right.
You don't see people in movies being like when they're fucking serial killers.
Right.
They're normal people that are just creepy.
Like, so here's the other day, Raw, they had a thing where he got like pulled out on a stretcher into an ambulance.
I did see that. Right. I saw that on the website. I saw the clip of that.
Yeah, and then he comes back
in the ambulance.
And you're like, this is
stupid. It's a cartoon.
Yeah.
He shouldn't do that. He should be a normal person.
Yeah.
And this is what Roman Reigns is given. Roman Reigns is a normal-ish person. They let people be normal, but then when they're trying to make you like a thing, then you have to be like crazy, and it's like, that doesn't work.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Stupid.
I know. I think he'll find it. I think by next year he'll probably be main eventing
WrestleMania. I hope.
WrestleMania.
That'd be great. In the right way, though, not in this way.
So this is the last thing. I just want to make sure that we cover the females of wrestling.
Right, which I don't know a lot about. I wish I did.
Yeah.
I know it's great, I've heard.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But and fine, I'll just throw my opinion out there. We won't get into it. But they're doing a match. It's Becky, Sasha, and Charlotte. Triple
Sasha is the black girl.
Yes.
And then what's the other
one? She's Snoop Dogg's niece.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, he loves wrestling. Wait, where are the other ones?
It's Charlotte Flair.
Flair's daughter, right?
Yeah.
And then
Becky Lynch, who's an Irish
steampunk
girl.
That's the one I don't know. Yeah. I've seen her outfits. She's wearing like a steampunk headband.
Well, she's the problem, really.
Oh, really?
Is that like, they're, you know.
But why not bring up the girl who's great?
Who?
The one in NXT.
Oh, Bayley?
Bayley.
I know why they're not doing it, because she's She's on top over there.
Okay.
They have her and Finn. They will bring them up like very soon. Because these girls, they brought them up and they need to have their WrestleMania moment. They're like the class above her.
Right.
But the four of them are like very tight on Instagram. Right. You know, they're like always posting pictures.
Yeah, it should be their time.
Together. Yeah. But the thing is that Sasha, I just felt like this. I felt like.
That's a WWE match. Sasha's in the WWE.
Yeah, the WWE. This is WWE. They're all up there. Charlotte's the Divas champion.
Right.
And I just thought Charlotte by Sasha by now, they were chanting, "We want Sasha." And I was like, oh, they're like not even having her wrestle. They're holding her back a little bit because they're waiting for Mania.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. Then Charlotte, Sasha is going to be like one of the biggest matches at Mania. And then they added Becky Lynch, which I'm not a big fan of at the three-person matches. Like, right. I'm fine with them. I know why they happen. They're a necessary evil. But right. I feel like in this case, Charlotte versus Sasha was like a marquee match for WrestleMania. And Sasha has not gotten on the mic. They've buried the Divas, even though they pretended this is this revolution.
Revolution, yeah.
And it's sad because I really was expecting that match to be huge, and okay. I don't think it is. But that's all I'd say. But I didn't want to not cover the Divas.
Yeah,
yeah. So we'll wrap up here. But are you excited for WrestleMania?
Oh my God, I have so much fun at these things. I wouldn't necessarily say that I know a lot of what's going on, but I usually get clued in during the weekend, and then I am invested in always the last three matches, and then now the ladder match that you told me about. Like, those all sound worth my ticket.
Yeah, you've earned the right to not be in the know.
Yes,
you've been two in the know,
and then I had to get out. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I think you have to take a break. You'll be back.
No, something will happen. Not in a hard way. But I'll watch a little more usually.
Something will happen. Some kind of punk thing will happen. Yeah. Or like something.
I doubt punk will ever come back. But
not punk-esque.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Punk, will he come back?
Never say never, but this one's pretty close to never.
That punk will never come back.
I doubt it. I mean, I highly doubt it.
Yeah. I don't want to believe that that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jensen, how can we find you?
It's on Twitter. I'm at JensenClan88. That's with a C. So it's JensenClan88. And I have a book coming out on June 7th. Yeah, it's June 7th. It's called Kanye West Owes Me $300 and other two stories from a white rapper who almost made it. And it's my story from my teenage years to like 24, right before I went to, or 22, right before I went to pro wrestling. And I was a signed rapper at Interscope Records, and I made records with Kanye and the Black Eyed Peas.
That's amazing. You've lived like 40 lives.
I know, it's so weird. I hope hopefully this is the one that I don't have to write books about another strange part of my life.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really fun and it's exciting. And if you like rap industry stories, this is your book. But even if you just like fish out of water, sort of, like a Jewish white kid from the Valley who ended up being in the middle of like hip hop history and making way too much money off rhyming words. And it comes out June 7th, and you could pre-order it right now at JensenCarp.com.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hit me up on Twitter. I'm going to check that out. At DBlackAttack. And starting next week, there'll be some big, fun changes for this podcast. And I'm going to fill you in on all that.
Co-host it with The Miz from now on.
Yeah, The Miz is going to be my co-host. Yeah. And we're going to just talk about WrestleMania 27.
Over and over.
It's a podcast called WrestleMania 27. It's going to be 27. Yeah. We're going to break down every single thought he was having.
Promos.
We're going to go through the concussion.
We're going to go word for word.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks, Jensen.
Thank you.
Yeah.